Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
These are God's truths. These are eternal truths. For us to have a casual, you know, sort of slightly disinterested attitude in them, that's not going to benefit us. That's not going to do what God intended to be done through His Word. We have to consider God's Word. We have to take and we have to invest our time in it and put forth our effort to really seek to understand it.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Mark. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Mark, chapter 4, verses 21 through 34, in a message titled Kingdom Parables. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Mark chapter 4, verse 21, and he, speaking of Jesus, said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. The earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then he said to them, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air nest in its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And so I figured today that we would, we, of course, looked at that first parable in the fourth chapter. Last time we talked about how it's commonly called the parable of the sower, but probably more accurately, parable of the seed and the soil. And we called it the seed, the gospel seed. And so I wanted to finish up this section by looking at these parables, because all of this is connected. These are not just, you know, disconnected thoughts here. Jesus is laying out a teaching here about the seed that goes beyond the parable that we just look at. I pointed out to us that Mark, of course, Mark is more brief in many ways than Matthew and Luke, and considerably different than John. And Mark, as far as the parables go, you'll find more parables in Matthew and Luke. Mark has the fewest number of parables, about 8, and they're all contained right here. So we're just going to basically walk through the verses we read and just tie together everything to what Jesus previously said, and hopefully take away today what the big picture message is that the Lord has for us. So in verse 21, he said to them, now remember, he just finishes the previous parable talking about the various, you know, the seed falling on the various types of ground. And so then he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand?" Some people think that Jesus just goes off on a completely different topic here. No, he's not. He's still on the same subject. Well, why does he bring in the lamp and the lampstand? What does that have to do with the seed? Why he brings this in is because what he's telling us is that the message that was contained in the first parable, the message about the seed being God's word and finding its place in people's heart. God's intention is that people receive it, people understand it, people apply it, and people are blessed by it. God didn't send Jesus to scatter the seed or to spread the word, nor does he send people out to do that so that it can remain obscured or hidden. No, just like a lamp is brought in order to bring everything to light, so Jesus is saying that he's come and the word has come to bring us understanding. And God's intention is that we understand. So he, in a sense, you know, wants us to know that God is not seeking to hide truth from us. He wants to reveal truth to us, but the problem is often on our end. And that's why he says, if anyone has ears, let them hear. You see, the key is hearing. God has brought us the word concerning the kingdom, but we have the need to listen. And as we're going to see here in just a second, to listen attentively. So then he goes on. He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. So again, he said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he said, take heed or consider what you hear. You see, this is the thing that Jesus is wanting to get across to us. These are God's truths. These are eternal truths. For us to have a casual, you know, sort of slightly disinterested attitude in them, that's not going to benefit us. That's not going to do what God intended to be done through his word. We have to consider God's word. We have to take and we have to invest our time in it and put forth our effort to really seek to understand it. And, you know, think about it. If this really is what we believe it to be, if this really is God's word, if this is really the revelation that has come down to us that tells us about ultimate reality, then we would be absolutely foolish to not invest ourselves entirely in this, right? If these things are true, then we need to, if we haven't done this yet, we need to set everything else aside and we need to really pay attention to this. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. He says to take heed or consider what you hear. And in Luke's gospel, the same parable, Luke has just a slightly different twist on it. And it, rather than take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. But it's the same idea. But I think Luke even gives us a little more insight. Take heed how you hear. How do you hear? You know how it is that, you ever have that experience? I'm sure you did. And I had it like 5 times yesterday. I'm talking to somebody and I'm listening to them, but then somebody over there is saying something that I'm trying to hear too. And so I'm really not even hearing either one of them. And I'm looking at this person and their lips are moving and they're telling me something, but I'm so trying to hear what's going on over there. It's like, I'm not hearing anything. And we can be like that when it comes to the word of God, right? We're so preoccupied with other voices or other things that are going on. You know, we're not paying attention. And that's what Jesus says, take heed or pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to how you hear. Are you really hearing this? And like I said, if this is really God's word, I believe it's God's word. I think many of you do too. Then man, we're going to want to give the most attention to it because notice the next thing he says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. With the same measure you use. What does this mean? It means that our understanding and retention and benefit from God's word, it's dependent on what we do with what we hear. So with the same measure we hear, it's going to be measured back to us. So if I am not really paying attention, and then I wonder, how come the word doesn't seem to be impacting me? How come it doesn't seem to be profiting me? You know, some people say, well, you know, I read the Bible, but it doesn't really do anything for me. The question is, what measure are you using? Because it's going to be measured back to you. So in other words, if you are coming at the scripture with, got to get through this, got to get my Bible reading in, and because I got a lot of other things going on. And if you're coming at it like that, you're not going to get much out of it. That's what it's telling us. But if you're coming at it and saying, man, this is God's word, and even if I only get to read two or three verses today, this is God's word, so I want to zero in on what he's saying, and I want to walk away and think about what he's saying, that then is going to be measured back to us. So in other words, the more we look at it with intention of really growing, the more God is going to give us understanding and insight. So in a sense, we determine how deep we're going to go in the truth of God. And so with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And that is on the one side, it's kind of a little bit of a corrective, but on the other side, it's a great promise. It's really like God's just saying, you know what? I'll take you as deep as you want to go. I'll give you as much as you want to have. I'm not going to force you beyond what you want, but if you want to just go really deep, the Lord's like, here I am, let's go. And of course, we know that's God's desire for us. And so that's what Jesus is telling us here. And to you who hear, more will be given. So for those who take God's word seriously, we can expect that God is going to continue to give us understanding of his word. But then he says this, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. One of the other gospels clarifies, even what they seem to have will be taken. Now think of the group that Jesus is talking to. There's basically three different types of people here. There's the disciples. They're the followers of Jesus. So they're the ones that have, and Jesus says, more is going to be given to you. But then there's another group that's kind of like, you know, they're interested, but they're not like super interested. They're interested in some things. They're really interested in the miracle part. You know, a lot of people follow Jesus because he did miracles, and I'm sure some of them, every time Jesus said, hey, let's sit down and take a couple hours, I want to teach you. Some of them were like, oh, not another teaching. Come on, where's the miracles? I'm hungry. I heard that Jesus could make like lots of bread and stuff. Why isn't that going to happen? You know, there are people like that today. There are people who they follow after a show, and they want to go where the action is. And they have little tolerance for the truth of God's word. So they're not going to get much. But then there's one more group of people here. There are the religious leaders. Now, here's the thing. These guys seemed to have it down. They seem to have, they've got it. Man, these guys knew the scriptures. These guys, they spent their life studying the scriptures. So surely they're going to be the ones that are blessed because, man, they have been so meticulous. Did you know that in certain rabbinic circles, one of the ways that a rabbi is tested or a student is tested in their, you know, as they're progressing toward being a rabbi, one of the ways they're tested is by taking a text of scripture, and they would then drive a nail through the text of scripture, like if you just closed your Bible and you hammered a nail in it. And of course, if you did that, as it went through the pages, it would take letters, and in some cases, it would take words out, right? One of the ways they're tested is they do that to scripture they open up, and the student has to tell you every letter that's missing, or in some cases, every word that's missing. So that's how thoroughly these guys get to know the word from a technical standpoint. Jesus even said in his day, he said, you search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life. But the reality is they testify of me. So there's that group, and what's the point? They seem to have it all. But the truth is they have nothing because they reject the author. They got the book, but they reject the author. And so Jesus is saying to the one who has, to the one who's embraced him and has faith, more is going to be given. But to those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. So those who do not have faith is what that would refer to there. Now, next he goes on and he tells us a little bit more about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So you see here, he's still dealing with the seed. Now, what is the point here? The point that Jesus is making right here is that we have a responsibility and God has a responsibility. And we can look at it in that sense. And what he's showing us here is, you know, our responsibility is fairly simple. And it's just to scatter the seed. That's what we do. God's the one who makes it grow. God's the one who makes things happen. And just as the farmer just goes out and he scatters the seed. And he is dependent now on something that he really doesn't have any control over. And so it grows. He does not know how. And you know, that is true when it comes to the ministry. And sometimes though, what we think, sometimes we think, if I can't figure out how it works, I'm not going to do it. So I mean, some people even would say, well, you know, why bother doing that? That's not going to do anything. I don't get how that's going to do anything. I don't really get how just, you know, faithfully teaching through the Bible, what's that going to do? We've got so many other things. We got so many problems in the world. Because to them, it doesn't seem like, you know, what are we doing here? Well, here's what we're doing here. We're just scattering the seed out there. We're planting more seeds. What's it going to do? Where's it going to go? To what extent is there going to be an impact? And how is it all going to happen? I don't know. But I know it does happen because I've lived long enough to see it happen many, many times over. And what Jesus is reminding us here of is just the simple fact that we are involved in something that is supernatural. We're involved in something that is unexplainable, really, from the human standpoint. We're involved in something that God's doing. There's a miraculous component to all of this. And one of the things that is, you know, kind of here, and it certainly could be applied in this way for people like myself and other people who are pastoring and teaching, you know, one of the big temptations is to try to figure out some method or some formula to make it all work. And in doing that, and, you know, sometimes it's I'm not saying that we should never have a method or a formula, but sometimes we put so much emphasis on that, we forget that there is this supernatural element that we do not know how it happens. And sometimes we mistakenly look at the method and we think, well, that's how it happened. We did that method and this is the result we got. No, that's not how it happened. We don't know how it happened. God did it. That's how it happened. I saw this thing on social media this morning that I had no intention of including in this message, but it fit perfectly. It was a little video on Instagram or something, and it was a guy. There were two people in this little video, and one was very prominent front and center. The other one was in the background. So in the front and center place was a young guy, probably, you know, 20s, 30s, super built, you know, perfect specimen of a man, and, you know, muscle shirt and muscles. And he's got this apparatus set up where he's going to go up and he's going to do some gymnastics. He's going to do like an L, and then he's going to go up and do a handstand and all that. And you know, and it's all right there in front of you. And then just over to the side, you see this man who you only see the back of him. And by looking at the back of him, he looks like he's about 75 years old. And this is all happening in a gym. So this man is shooting baskets. He's standing there at the free throw line and he's shooting baskets and he's sinking every one of them. And the caption read, the guy in the front is the pastor who's going to reach the big city. And the guy in the background is the rural faithful pastor. And I thought, wow, there's so much truth to that, you know, because it's like, man, we're going to take this city for Jesus and check me out. Man, I'm looking so good and watch what I can do and we're going to do it. And in the end, it doesn't amount to a whole lot because it's all about you and it's all about what you can do. And here's a guy over here who's just, you know, nobody even knows he exists. He's just out there. He's not on Instagram. But man, he's sinking every basket. He's doing it. And it just struck me like, this is kind of this idea here, you know. There is a supernatural thing. Like Paul would say later, he said, one plants, one waters, God makes it grow. God makes it grow. I have had the experience so many times of seeing this work out. You know, one of the reasons why, some people might wonder, you know, some of the things that we do, of course, we do evangelistic things. You know, I was just in Scotland. We set up in the city square in Dundee in this case, and there we are, and, you know, we're doing music, and we're preaching the gospel, and people are walking by, and from all appearances, they couldn't care less that you're doing that, and in some cases, it seems like you're not even there. They don't even see you. And, you know, some would say, why are you doing that? That's a waste of time. And sometimes when you're doing it, you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? It seems to be a waste of time. So years ago, there was a couple in our church, and they were great. They were amazing, and, you know, God just used them in so many different ways. And I was having a conversation with them one day, and I just, for whatever reason, I just said, so what's your story? How did you even, you know, come to the Lord? And they said, oh, well, glad you asked. They said, well, years ago, we were, you know, we decided to go for a walk on Oceanside Pier one night or one afternoon. And as we were walking along, we saw this gathering down there. There's an amphitheater down there on Oceanside. And, you know, we saw that there are a crowd there. And so we sort of stopped. And we noticed that there was a guy that was talking. And he was preaching from John chapter 4. And he was talking about the woman at the well. And then they went on to say, and that just arrested us. That caught our attention. And he, you know, presented this gospel message, and we received Christ. And you were the guy that was preaching. That's how we ended up at your church.
And now, let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource. It's a book titled, The Myth of Coincidence by John Bonner.
So, Brian, John Bonner, a missionary pioneer in Peru, has just written a book.
He has written a book called The Myth of Coincidence, and it is such a great book. It's a small book, but you know how both of us love missionary biographies?
That's right.
Well, this is one adventure, I'll tell you. It's an amazing story of how, you know, John's own personal life and some of the things that happened, some of the tragedy, his meeting Pilar, his wife, in Mexico City, them being there during one of the big earthquakes, and then the Lord leading them into Peru, and now 20 years they've been in Peru and pioneering the gospel there, planted many churches, and I couldn't put the book down. It was a page-turner. So John Bonner. And the title, again, is The Myth of Coincidence. And he just basically shows through the book that there are no coincidences, that God is at work behind the scenes.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled The Myth of Coincidence by John Bonner. You can order the book The Myth of Coincidence by going to our website, brianbrodesen.uk. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book The Myth of Coincidence by John Bonner to help you understand that God is working behind the scenes in your life too. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Mark. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.